Well, good morning. It's really good to see everybody this morning. There have been a number of things that have been a little bit difficult this morning. The sound system would be one of them. Steve's back there frantically twisting knobs and doing an excellent job. Thank you so much. William isn't able to be with us this morning, and so setting up the stream, I think I got it. And so I'm hoping that the service will be online. And so if someone who is real techie and has their cell phone and wants to check that out, I dare you. And then let me know if it's not. We also gather together. It's a new year. Happy New Year. Hope you had a fantastic Christmas. Mine was right off the charts. I'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I'm really looking forward to this new year and all it has for us. There are some great and exciting things in store for us as a congregation. And we are just going to start off hitting it out of the park. So the very first thing, yes, my son says, we have internet. We're streaming. That's awesome. So the very first thing that I want to say is we're going to have installation of officers in a little bit right after the announcements for our new council. Now, understand a number of our council members aren't able to be here today. Some of them have COVID. Some of them, in all honesty, we kind of sprung this on them at the last instant, and we'll explain why in just a little bit. And so when we do that, we also want to let all our council members know our first meeting was supposed to be Tuesday night. We canceled it. The reason for that is the pastor here, whom I have heard is a really nice guy. yeah, thank you. They're clapping because council meeting was canceled. I have a wonderful opportunity. I announced last Sunday that I have been asked to go to Kenya to teach, and I'll be leaving actually on Tuesday to go to Detroit so I can catch my plane at 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning to start a 22-hour trip to get to Kenya. Now, what has occurred is one individual wasn't able to go, and that's why I was asked to go. Following that, this past Thursday, my telephone rang, and I found out the guy that was second, that was supposed to be the primary teacher, came down with COVID. And so that fell to me. And so we've been putting things together and scrambling and working with the seminary and doing all of that. I think we're going to be able to pull this off. And so I will leave on Tuesday for Kenya, and I'll be gone for two Sundays while I'm teaching there. I'm really excited about this opportunity to interact with the Kenyan people and with their pastors and be able to share with them. It's really exciting. We're going, the course is going to be a spiritual formation and talk about not only becoming Christians, but what do we do once that's happened? How do we put that all together and then walk that through life? And they're going to be encouraged, and we're going to challenge them. How do you put this forth in your churches? And so we're really excited about that. There's some just great opportunities there. And I couldn't be more excited as COVID rages in our region. And flights are canceled on a regular basis. So I was talking with a good friend yesterday, and we basically came to the conclusion that if God doesn't want us to go, he'll stop the trip. If God wants us to go, then that means that evil in our world is working really hard to upset the fruit basket. So whichever way it is, God, if you want us to stop, it's not hard. It just one more wheel falls off, and I think it would happen. But at the same time, these pastors are desiring to learn and grow, and we really want to enable this to happen. And I'm sure that a lot of flights are going to be canceled, but mine won't be. And that's my perspective, and we're just gonna move forward with that. And I really am. I'm really excited about going. And I would ask this of each and every one of you, please, be concerned for me. The concern is concern motivates us to pray. It motivates us to want to participate in and be part of something. So allow that concern to take you to the throne of God on my behalf, that the travel will be safe, the flights won't be canceled, the teaching will be sound, and the learning will be far beyond my abilities or expectations, that these folks in Kenya might truly grow and learn in spite of me being there. Because it's just so important for the cause of the gospel. Kenya is such a rich land, and it is time for Christianity to really be moving forward and doing great things. And so allow that concern for your pastor to motivate you to prayer, because it's very, very much, very much needed. The rest of the announcements are... we have canceled our children's program for this morning. Several families and people that were assisting with that have come down with COVID. But as I'm looking, most of you, there may be one or two that aren't old enough to be in here for the full service anyway. But I think we're in good shape that way. And those that aren't old enough to be in here for the whole service are up here on the platform. And so we'll continue to work with that. Keep those families in your prayers that are fighting through things, COVID and the various aspects of that as well. Pretty much the rest of the announcements are there in your bulletin. As you kind of look down through them, I can peruse them. Nate Scott will be our speaker in my absence. Nate Scott is one of the families that have been coming here. He was the pastor of a church here in Worcester. That church is no longer functioning, and they have kind of come together, a number of them with us, and we want to celebrate that. And Nate will be bringing the service, bringing the message for those two Sundays. He's an excellent speaker, and I really look forward to what he has to share with us. He is excited beyond belief to be able to come and be with us, and so I'm going to work really hard to get the stream in Africa, and so we'll see if we can't make that occur. And so I'm really excited about what God's got in store for us. I don't have any specific prayer requests that were given to me. Is there any here this morning? Good. Okay, we'll go ahead. Am I doing something, Steve? Okay, that's fun. John's going to come, and we'll have the installation of officers.
Good morning. Happy New Year. I'm going to name individuals that will be serving for us on Council 2022. If you please come forward, and we'll proceed with the installation time. Can you hear me now? All right. Thank you, Steve. The following people will please come forward. Joanne Ellsworth, Shirley Borman, Jake Melrose, who's not able to be with us today, and myself. Will be serving as your elders for 2022. Deacons, Roger Ream, who's not able to be here, Ron Carter, Ben Halbert, and Joanne Hirschberger will serve as deacons. Deaconess will be Sue Amstutz, Joanne Yoder, Sherry Thompson, and Linda Grieger. And trustees will be represented by Jackie Daig, who's not here, Les Thompson, Wayne Hirschberger, and John Lee, who is not able to be with us today. Pastor?
It's a wonderful tradition that we have as a congregation that we bring those leaders serving on our church council before the congregation each year to install them. We've put a stamp of approval on them by electing them into these various leadership positions. But this is where we pretty much say, look, we're willing to stand behind you. We're willing as a congregation to step up to the plate, to work together, to forward the cause of Jesus Christ in this world. And these individuals behind me are the leaders in various positions that you have chosen to put them in place to carry us into the future. Also, as individuals who have accepted responsibility in these various areas, we expect you to be perfect. But we also understand that you're human. We expect you to do everything within your power. But at the same time, we understand that we have obligations to our spouses, to our families, to our church family, and to one another. So today I'm going to ask you, if you would be willing to do all that God asks you to do in your various positions to the best of your ability, and if you do, please say, I will. To the congregation, we expect them to be perfect, but we also understand that that's not going to happen. But at the same time, we want to keep these individuals in prayer on a constant and ongoing basis, that God would speak to their hearts, that God would motivate them, and God would work through them to accomplish the leadership of this congregation. They're going to make mistakes. We need to be willing to understand that, but at the same time, hold them up before a God that loves us all and support them even in the difficult times. If you are willing to do that, I'm going to ask you to please stand this morning. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we join together in the leadership and the workings of this congregation, we ask for your blessing. We have things that are coming our way that are big, and we have things that are coming our way that are small. And we need your help all along the way. Assist these individuals to be able to hear your voice as you speak. Draw us closer to you and give us courage to step out in faith because of your love for us. Help us to truly love this congregation. For Lord, we install them as officers and leaders, and we have committed to following them. So Lord, use them, guide and direct them, that we might continue to grow and flourish as a congregation. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning again. Please stand and join Dee and I in our congregational singing. We're going to start with a song, In My Heart There Rings a Melody. Amy was not able to be with us today, so we had to kind of upset the apple cart a little bit with some different songs. So, In My Heart There Rings a Melody.
its harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Me with endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
And now glory to his name.
Amen.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, so glad that I entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to to the fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart the blood applied. Glory to his name.
You may be seated.
Our scripture for today is taken from the book of John, the 15th chapter. We're just going to read the fifth verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now this morning, because we don't have any children with us, or at least none that I can see, we'll go ahead and skip the children's sermon and just head right into it. So, that leaves me 45 minutes. Good. Oh, we have special music. Where's Bob? Ben. There we go. Ben Immel is with us, and we're so glad to have him back. He has been gone for a little while, been having some trouble with his voice, and we're just tickled pink that he's with us this morning.
song I'm going to sing today is called Joseph's Song. Now, you all know a lot of you have had kids, grandkids. I just had our 10th child on the 29th of this month. And, it was difficult to raise our kids, especially nowadays with all the outside, the media, the social network. But Joseph had to raise God's son. And that had to be an overwhelming thought, I would think. So the name of my song is Joseph's Song. How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? How could it be?
Some songs just have that ability to just allow the things that are troubling your mind to just kind of take their proper spot. That's one of those songs. Thank you so much. We're kind of starting a new year. Hard to believe that just, 8 days ago was Christmas? Kind of kind of enjoy and family gatherings and was able to gather together with family and share a meal together and just enjoy one another's company. And I mean, and having my son with me and his wife and just to be able to really enjoy each other's company. It's kind of an amazing thing. There's this tension that sometimes occurs, and we get together as family, and if we don't get to see each other on a regular basis, there's a little bit of tension, like, how's this all going to work out? Is everything going to be okay? You know, somebody going to come in a little cranky? You know, I mean, just what are we going to get? And then as you're together and as time begins to go by and you begin to relax, you're able to be who you are. And that's when the fun starts. You know, that's when we're finally able to relax, we're no longer walking on glass. I mean, we can just enjoy and be there with one another and be who we are. Family is that place where we can kind of let down our guard and just be together. I'm going to talk today a little bit about New Year's and New Year's resolutions, but when it boils down, I'm really talking about being family. So I want to look a little bit at the new year, because when we start a new year, we make New Year's resolutions. You guys make New Year's resolutions? I'm not going to ask you what they are, I promise. But New Year's resolutions are what keep places like Planet Fitness in business. I mean, because everybody is going to be slimmer and trimmer in the new year, and we make all of these resolutions and all of that, and most of the time we fail miserably. Got a couple of options, a couple of stories I ran across. A story was told at the beginning of the new year. High school principal decided to post his teacher's New Year's resolutions on the bulletin board. And as the teachers gathered around the bulletin board, a commotion kind of started. One of the teachers were complaining, and they say, "How come my resolution wasn't put up on the board?" And was causing a stir, and the principal's like, "Oh no, what have I done?" Runs back to his office and is digging through his notes, and unfortunately, this individual's resolution had fallen on the floor. He picked it up quickly and was running down the hallway to write it on the bulletin board, and when he read it, it said, "I resolve to not allow the little things to bother me." Or maybe this one. Son called his parents to wish them a happy new year, and his dad answered the phone. He said, "Well, Dad, what's your new year's resolution?" And Dad said, "To make your mother as happy as I can all year." Well, they chatted for a little bit, and then Mom got on the phone, and the son asked Mom the same thing. "What's your new year's resolution?" And to make sure Dad keeps his. Okay, we're getting there. We're getting there. You know, it's maybe the Calvin and Hobbes cartoon is more appropriate. And the character Calvin says, "God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now, I'm so far behind, I'll never die." Yeah. You know, it's a new year. And we talk about a lot of different things in our lives, but one of the things that I see so often that is misplaced is in our walk with God, just what's our resolution for the year? What is it that really needs to come about? What is it in our spiritual lives really needs to have a little bit of an attention getter for the new year? And I have four of them this morning that I'd like to suggest to you if we really want to grow and be with our God. The first of those is to make sure we find time for God. You know, let's be honest. If most of us have some type of a calendar that we keep, It may be for our job. It may be for doctor's appointments. It may be for a lot of things. But most of us have some type of a calendar so we can put on there, you know, when the kids are coming in or whatever it happens to be. What if we would put on there or actually place in our calendars time for God? I'm going to dedicate however long it is, this time to be with God, and put it right in our calendar. Because, you know, once it's in the calendar, you know, you've got it. Okay, that's not exactly true, but if it gets on the calendar, the probability of doing it becomes much higher. Now, I'm got to be honest. There are those individuals that get up in the morning, they have their coffee, their breakfast, they have their devotions, their time with God, and then they go about your day. I love those people. I'm just not one of them. It's not so much when you do it, it's more that you do it. Make sure you're having time with God. Now, what happens in the new year all too often is we get all excited and we make these dedications and we start out, I'm going to spend 2 hours in prayer every day for God. I mean, that's wonderful and all of that, but it's kind of like going to the gym the first time. If you go to the gym and you run for 2 miles and work out, and you're there for 2 hours, man, you feel so good. And then that night you're tired, you sleep so heavy. And in the morning you can't get out of bed. Okay, I don't want you to do that. I want you to start out slow and work, because I firmly believe that God would rather have 1 minute a day every day than 20 minutes for one day for the whole year. So start out. Allow a little bit of time for God to speak. Just be quiet before Him and just allow, just be with Him. Because it takes a while till you get to the place where you can be with God and it doesn't feel awkward. It's going to feel awkward. Something about hanging out with the Holy of Holies. There's something about actually thinking of yourself in the presence of God Almighty. It's a little unnerving, and it should be. But stay there anyway. It's kind of like when Aaron came into our lives, Lynn and I's life, and I looked at a baby. I realized then I had not held a child near enough. And I didn't know how to do it. I you know, because you hear all these nightmarish stories. What's it going to be like? And I remember as soon as he was born, they plopped him in my arms. And it was just so good. And hanging out with God, we want to be with Him until it just feels so good. I have three words that kind of help us in that genre, and it's part of my spiritual formations, but it kind of goes like this. No be do. You can make that all one word if you'd like, no be do. But it's no be and do. And it goes like this in the real condensed version. We know. That's head knowledge. To know God is to read what's in Scripture. It's to learn from one another. It's head knowledge to know. We in the United States, we're pretty good about that. Or at least we know how to do that. To get to know God, it's head knowledge. Be is the hardest part. Because be means I have to be with God enough that I can be who He's created me to be. And that takes a change of heart. That's allow the knowledge to drop 18 inches. I've heard it said by a wise pastor once that too many people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance between their head and their heart. They know what it's supposed to be about. They just haven't allowed it to affect who they are. They want to be a Christian. They're just not willing to be one. They'll say they believe, but the truth is they don't. They just want to. We need to be who God has created us to be. That a willingness to allow God to peel off the layers that really don't need to be there and to just be with Him. And what happens is when our knowledge hits our heart and changes who we are, then the third part is the do. And the do is so easy. It really is. Because if I am who God has created me to be, the things that I want to do are the things that God wants me to do. Therefore, the conclusion to that is, if I know God and I am who God has created me to be, then I get to do everything that I want. Do you know how cool that is? I mean, can you imagine that? To live a life? To live a life where you get to do everything that you want? I mean, is that exciting? It just blows my mind. And in my own life, as these things begin to happen, and they come from nowhere. Hey, Pastor, would you like to go to Kenya and teach? Sure. But really, I get to do the things that fill my heart with joy. Does it mean I'm not concerned about catching COVID? Oh, I'm concerned. Does it mean that I'm not concerned about my airplane ride being canceled? Oh, I'm concerned. Am I concerned about being stuck in Kenya and not being able to come back? Yeah, I'm concerned. But I get to teach. And I'm so looking forward to that. That brings my heart joy. That the other stuff is just other stuff. You see, we want to be with God until He changes us into the people that He wants us to be, and then we get to just party forever. And we get to practice while we're here, but then we get to be in heaven for all eternity doing all the stuff that gives our heart joy. You get filled up to the point you just spontaneously combust. I think that's what happens to some Christians. They just fill up with so much God that their body can't handle it anymore, and then they just go and be with Him. I'm concerned I'm getting close. But it's wonderful. But we have to make sure that we're spending time with God. You don't go from 0 to 100 overnight, but we begin. And in the beginning, we'll be amazed, but we have to keep after it. Make sure you're having time to be with God. Second, you really need to be in a group of believers. Now, Sunday morning is that, and there's a certain amount of growth, and there's a certain amount of progress that we make by attending worship, and hopefully your pastor is teaching biblical principles, giving you something to chew on that not only hits you on Sunday morning, but continues throughout the week beyond misspelled words. But, okay, I got to tell you a quick story. I am lousy at spelling. You probably have noticed that. Now, I went back and checked all the spelling in my slides this morning because I was extra nervous. But I do. It's almost like English is a second language, and I'm working on that. I work hard on that, but I'm not always successful. One time, I believe the story was about pilot. And pilot was spelled like an airplane pilot and not pilot of the Bible. Sometimes those little things, they stick in our mind, and you know what? I'm okay with that, because not only does it give people a chuckle, but that is cemented in their mind. So maybe I did it on purpose. But we need to be part of a community of believers. We need to have that fellowship with one another. There's something about God speaking in a community that takes place, and that's very, very important, and you need to be active. But it's bigger than Sunday morning. And that's one of the things, as this pandemic hopefully slows down. I know the trends aren't exactly going that way, but as that happens, we continue to need to find those ways to find a small group or several individuals that we can get together with in some way, shape, or form to spur us on, to be able to say, hey, I'm struggling here, and to be able to hold ourselves accountable one to another, to get where we want to go so that we can be the people that God has created us to be, that we might be able to do the things that bring us joy. We need to be active in a local congregation. Third, I know this is one of those big things. I almost skipped over this. Third is to choose to become a regular tither. I almost skipped over it because I want to be honest. In our walk with God, as we grow, as we learn, as it changes our heart, tithing, I don't know how you cannot tithe. It's just so natural as part of the Christian life to give and to be generous that... I know there were times in my life when I struggled, but I'm at that point where tithing is just such a natural thing. To not do it would be like tripping over your own feet. It just feels weird. And it just, it's not a cool thing. And I almost skipped over it because I really think that so much we put in too much emphasis on tithing. But at the same time, I do remember those days of struggle, and so that's why it's there. And I'd encourage you to give some thought to that, to tithing, if that's not part of your ongoing routine. There is an element of faith, walking as God would have us walk, that is a natural outpouring of our walk with God, that it can be a challenge, but it will become a natural thing. You find yourself wanting to do it. And so I'd encourage you to kind of give that consideration if that's not already part. If that's already part of your routine, yay! This is not a beat people up and say, you know, we got bills to pay, you know, and we're spending more money than you're giving. This is not the government. We are a congregation that has bonded together to do ministry, and that's what we'll continue to do. But I challenge you, if that's not part of it. It used to be you could tell someone's spiritual walk, quote-unquote, by looking at their checkbook. I'm not so sure that's true. I think there's an element that's there, but I think it goes deeper, and that deeper is looking at your calendar. And the calendar says, where are you spending time with God? Are you having that? The tithing is an outpouring of that. I think it is that part of that faith step to take that, to give it to God. And the neat thing about it is when we give something to God, we actually know who has it and that he's going to do a good job with it. And to trust him. And say, okay, I'll give you this. Make a difference. And he does. We can trust him to do that. And the council that was up here, that's part of their job, is to work out the details on an ongoing basis. And we have a good council. They're solid. And we can trust them. We need to make sure we're following God. I'm not going to go into any more detail than that, but I think I needed to touch on it just to keep us all square. The fourth thing this morning is simply this, to put any undesirable habit, addiction, or sin into the hands of God. The verse that we read, verse 5, it talks about abiding in the vine. And that's telling us as Christians we need to be connected with God. And that's why we talked about making sure we're having time with God on a regular basis. We need that connection. And out of that connection, these things come. And we need to be willing to say, you know what, I've got something in my life that needs to come to an end. And habit, addiction, sin, whatever it happens to be, you can fill in your own blank on what that is. But my challenge this morning is that you'd be willing to give that over to God. Because the end of verse 5, if you wouldn't throw things on the floor, the end of verse 5, it's not on that sheet. It's not in my notes. Why would I not put that in my notes? John chapter 5, 15 verse 5. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh, look at that. See, when we abide in God and He in us, we join together. And the result of that joining together is much fruit. And that much fruit reminds us that without God, we can do nothing. So what we need to do is hand over to Him the things that we really shouldn't have. When my kids were little and they had something they wouldn't, I would just ask for it. And I worked hard with them that when I asked for it, they would give it to me. And then they would sit there and look at me and want to know why. Well, because the knife is sharp and I don't want you to cut yourself. Okay, they could understand that. I'm asking you to do the same thing to God, to give Him those things that will hurt you. Those habits, those addictions, those sins that are bad for us, and hand it over to God and say, okay, explain to me why I shouldn't have that. Explain to me why you're asking for whatever that thing is. And I firmly believe that God will explain it. I could come up here and give examples. But the truth of the matter is, God doesn't like to take joy away from us. He likes to give us joy. What He's trying to do is take away those things that rob us of joy, so that we can experience it to the full, so that we can, well, know Bidu, that we can know Him more, be more accurately who He has called us to be His child, that out of joy and love, we might do the things that He asks us to do, because they'll be the things that God wants us to do, the things that we want to do, because we'll be joined together with the God that loves us. I think this is the foundation for a fantastic 2022. Already, God is doing some pretty wild things in our midst. And I look forward to being back here. Let's see, the 9th, the 16th, 4, 5, 6, the 23rd. I'll be back here on the 23rd with stories to tell of how God has done amazing things. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that the amazing things that God's going to do have nothing to do with canceled flight and airline traffic and broken down vehicles. I think God's going to be doing some fantastic things in the lives of these pastors as we gather together and as we talk and share. Fantastic things are going to happen. And I think this is just getting the year started. And it's getting started with a bang, and I can't wait for what God's got in store. But we need to make sure we've got the foundation strong to know God, to be who He's created us to be, and then to go and do it. Or, as some comedian said, get her done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be that. We want that to happen in our hearts and our lives as a congregation as well as individuals. We want to know You. We want to be who You've created us to be, to accomplish the mission You set before us. But help us to remember that we have to know and be before we can do. Sometimes we just want to go from know to do, and without the be in the middle, that the changing of our hearts, that the doing doesn't work right. So help us to get it in the right order, that we truly might be Your servants, that we truly might be doing the things that bring joy to not only our hearts, but to those around us. Come and draw close to Your people. Grant us Your hope and Your love. Walk with us, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand and join us in our closing hymn, All for Jesus. And Pastor, this is song is going to be part of a prayer for you. Join us up here in front. I think it's fitting that we as a congregation send Arnie off and ask his blessings on Lynn as they are going to be separated for a time being. So let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice in how you care for us, how you look over us, how you lead us. And Arnie's message this morning, it is so vital that we have a close and dear love for you and a desire to wish to obey you and to bid your calling. And Father, it appears that you're calling Pastor Arnie to go to Kenya. Not a real easy decision, and yet in some ways it is easy because you're calling, you're asking him. And I know Arnie and Lynn both know and trust you with every ounce of their being. And we are grateful for that. They have been shining examples of your love to this congregation. We are delighted to have them as our pastor and wife. And we just ask, Lord, in the days ahead that we're going to ignore worrying about any airlines, snafus, or anything else that happens. Lord, you have a mission. You have given Arnie a call. And we rejoice with that. And we're happy. We're happy to be able to have Arnie go and share his love of you with the Kenyan pastors. And Lord, we just know you're going to guide his steps. You'll grant him the words to say. You'll grant him the peace, the joy, everything that he could possibly need for success abroad. And while Lynn stays here at home, we just ask that you grant her also a peace and an understanding and a love and a joy that Arnie's going to be experiencing, but she'll be here at home, and we just lift both of them up and ask that you be with them. Be with Aaron, Alina, and Luke as well, as their dad goes over across the sea. Bring him back safely, Lord Jesus. And it is in your precious name, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, we ask and pray these things. Amen.
Amen. As we go from this place, the directions that we travel may be different and varied one from another, but it's one and the same God. He watches over us. He cares about each and every detail of our lives and just wants to be in communion with us. May this year be a year where we know him more. We be the people that he's created us to be, and the doing might flow from that. Amen.